The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to The Q. Today, we are joined by, well, two amazing individuals. One being Mr. Justin Demming, of course, at Dymofo, D-E-Y-E-M-O-F-O, on Twitter. Also, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to jump into this one about a minute and a half into the interview with Kurt Schlichter. We seem to have some technical difficulties on the interview with Mr. Schlichter. There was a lot of garbled stuff at the first minute and a half, but that's okay. Regardless of that, a great interview with Kurt Schlichter. We are going to jump into that right now. So take it away, Mark, Kurt, and Justin.
Minds, gobbling bonbons, watching Dr. Phil, and holding their meaty paws out, thinking that I'm going to stick some more cash that I make working into it.
Well, we even drove here to the radio station today on the interstate highway system that was, I think, envisioned by that godless communist Eisenhower. So,
okay. Well, if you've ever spent any time around Army generals, you'll understand that they're hardly Tea Partiers. They're very comfortable in large organizations that control every aspect of their people's lives.
Now,
which, of course, is what you want with generals. I mean, you want a general who's uncomfortable with doing the things that are being a general. But to look to a general and say, he's not a Tea Party conservative, is kind of like looking at a dog and going, that's no cat.
Now, I definitely want to, I'm welcoming Kurt Schlichter to the home of The Q, theqnow.com, if you guys like to find out old information, new information. Kurt Schlichter is a contributor to Breitbart.com, and as I was trying to say earlier, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Mr. Schlichter, I've put it out there. I don't know, Mr. Schlichter, do you know of anyone, and I don't want to say names, but have you heard of anyone from the St. Louis area being a major contributor to Breitbart.com at all, ever? Okay. Now, with that being said, I have gone at length to invite individuals who might have been contributors to Breitbart.com onto my show, and they have all turned me down. Their choice. I don't hold it against them. That's their choice. You, sir, are a man. You are a man of your word. You showed up on my show, and you're here to discuss these things, and I really want to get to the crux.
Mark, I am a man because I am a paratrooper.
That's right. Well, no. Come on.
If other people have better things to do with their time, who want to devote them to other things or have other reasons for making choices that they do, who are you? Who am I?
Good point. No. That's why I said.
I support their right to do their thing. I am here because you're amusing. You're interesting. I've had a good time going back and forth with you on Twitter.
I want to talk about
it. And I'm interested in my ability to talk to your audience.
Yeah.
To spread the word of self-reliance.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Patriotism.
Definitely.
I want to
be the first one. So first off, I want to be the first to give Kurt his due, his proper due. You have been one of the best and easiest individuals on the conservative side for me to talk to in my entire existence of doing a political show. Now, I've only done The Q for 2 years. Literally, I've been in media and radio and TV for 18, but literally have only done a political show for 2 years. Literally because, and this only became a political show just because of that's what ended up the gravitation pulled it towards. It originally started off as a current events show. And from there, based off the calls I was getting, the individuals that were emailing me, the things that were being said, slowly kind of turned into a political show. And it's still, it's kind of like a, I would say 60-40, like a 60% Daily Show, 40% Howard Sternish current events mixed hodgepodge with some talk. Like, it, that 40% is really weird.
Hookers touching themselves.
No, but yeah, but I never do that.
See, that's the thing. Awesome.
I think, well, I would love to do that. But the problem is that the Howard Stern aspect of it falls by the only reason I say Howard Stern is because of the controversial aspect. But it's not controversial because we create controversy. It's controversial for the fact that just the topics that we talk about tend to have a controversial twinge to them. As you know.
Nothing wrong with controversy. This country is. I think Gary Holder was right about one thing and wrong about, well, everything else. This country is becoming cowardly, not on a conservative side and not on your side, because you're going out there and you're reaching out and you're actually talking to people who don't agree with you, which is very unusual for the typical left wing crowd.
And see,
you got to understand.
Oh no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, you know you've got to understand about conservatives. We're under attack from all sides. Everybody is the enemy in the culture. It's just a fact. It's just a reality. Back from 30 years ago when I got pulled into the dean's office because I was writing about how, the liberal student council were a bunch of goose-stepping fascists.
But are you?
To oppress me.
But are you really? Are you guys really being attacked from all sides, or is it just that I want to be the victim constantly aspect? You know?
Be the victim. I want to be in charge. I want people following the ideology.
Now, I think this is great.
I want people to buy into what I'm saying. I don't want to be a victim. Being a victim, look, being under attack is not being a victim. That's just assessing your situation and reacting appropriately. If you understand that the entire mainstream media is arrayed against us, that the political establishment is arrayed against us, that even the Republican Party is arrayed against conservatives, it's simply a realistic assessment of where you are. It's not being a victim. It's saying, here's my tactical situation, and immediately assessing your strategic and tactical options.
All right, now here's
what... I'm talking like an army guy.
No, you're fine. I think that this is good, because I think that, Kurt, like I said, my goal to start off this show was to prove to you that there is a liberal out there you might actually like. Because I
am plenty of liberals.
I know. No.
I live in L.A. If I didn't like liberals, I'd be living in a.
You make a great point. You'd
be under attack.
I'd be living in
sides.
An old Chevy Maverick parked at the park.
Okay. Now here's the no. I mean one that you actually really, really, really appreciate and like. Now I'm a moderate who tends to lean liberal, so I pull
Which
from
means
both
you're
sides.
A liberal.
I pull from both sides.
Anyone who says I'm a moderate is a liberal. Anyone who says I'm a liberal is a commie.
Well, you know, that's like what Penn Jillette said. If you're an agnostic, you're just an atheist in the closet. That's all there is to it. I get that. I understand.
An atheist who won't make the commitment.
Do you got something turned on in the background?
He's trying to cover all his bases.
I'm hearing a big echo, that's why. So here's the situation. I wanted to get you on here specifically for the fact that I wanted to really talk about some ideas within liberal and moderate versus, because, I mean, most people consider moderates liberals, as you just said. Liberals and moderates versus conservative ideas, okay? Now, my opinion is that liberals and moderates tend to think from a logical point of view. Now, you have your extreme fringes on both ends, okay? You have your extreme guys on the right, where it's a lot of emotion. You have your extreme people on the left, like your PETA people, a lot of emotion, okay? We're going to throw those people by the wayside. Now, I really do honestly believe, based off, like I said, I'm a moderate. I pull from both sides. I voted for George Bush in 2000. I voted for Barack Obama twice. I voted for John Kerry once. I voted for Bob Dole in 1996.
You're admitting all this in public.
Yes. Yeah.
It's nice that you're coming out like this.
No, that's okay.
I
will put my voting record on the line because I'm not your typical person.
We found the same
I am
voter.
Everything that Rachel Maddow wants to be, but better. I am the person who literally will say, I will say, well, yeah, that too. She wants to, yeah, good point. That's actually really funny. I will say the things that are true. I will put them out there and I will stand behind them. I'm not that dude. And I get it. There's a lot of people on both sides of the political spectrum that get on the internet and they get on the Twitters and the interwebs and they're keyboard and internet tough. There's a ton of them. Listen, I know Army guys, nothing personal. I know Army guys in St. Louis. Just because they served in the Army, they think that, and no disrespect to you, this is just because they served in the Army, they think that the toughness that they had out in the streets to defend themselves in a hand-to-hand combat is the same kind of attitude they have to have on the internet. And I call that being internet tough. I'm not that dude. I will literally walk out the front of my door I will take my shirt off and game on with whoever it is. Like, it's not a problem for me. I've always been that way. But then again, I'm 6'4", 250, and a former pro wrestler. So, like, I have, like, I have a little bit of, like, credence and background to who I am as a person. And I understand you, too. You know, there's a lot of people like that. Do you feel that the internet, let's really get into the crux of some of these discussions. Do you really feel that the internet has benefited and helped, or do you think it has actually ostracized and parted the waves of political pundits in the United States of America?
Well, first of all, in the United States, I want the waves parted. I don't want unity. Unity is fascism. It's stepping off into the future.
Have you ever even been to a fascist country?
Yes.
What country were you in?
I've been to several fascist countries.
Okay. Have you ever lived under fascist rule? No. I have no problem with you saying that. Have you ever lived under fascist rule? Because the reason I'm asking is I've never lived under fascist rule, so I don't even know the first thing about how fascism works. As far as,
well,
like,
I will help out.
Yeah, I would assume that it has to do with a lot of military guns being pointed at you and you're told what to do.
No. Fascism is one of socialism's retarded little brothers.
Okay.
You know, it's all part of what I like to call the collectivist rainbow of failure. Any ideology that places the collective above the individual, that says you must subordinate your individual rights, your individual choice, your individual freedom for a greater whole, which, and that whole that's greater, is always determined by someone else who happens to be in charge. It's always someone else telling you what to do, what to think, what to feel, how many ounces your Coca-Cola can have. It's somebody telling you what to do. It's a boot stepping on your neck forever.
Does anyone ever tell Coca-Cola how many ounces they can sell?
Excuse me?
Has anybody ever told Coca-Cola? Who?
Yeah.
Well, who did this?
Absolutely.
Who did this?
Mayor Bloomberg.
No.
Ounces in a cup.
Right, yeah, but there's the loophole. But then there's the loophole. Hey,
you think it is? Hold on. Let's.
But then there's the loophole, Kurt.
You believe
there's the loophole? Remember, you can go buy as many cups as you want. Like,
oh, please.
Yeah, you can.
Please. Here is the difference between a liberal and a conservative. Do you think it is a legitimate function of government to tell you how many ounces your soda can contain?
No, I do not think that that's right at all.
Then why? Then you are now. You have taken the first step to rejecting collectivism. Congratulations. Will be on our side.
I'm a moderate. I'm the hybrid. T2000. I'm the T2000.
There are only people who believe in collectivism and people who don't.
That's not true. I can take the best of both worlds and hybrid it.
There is no best of collectivism.
The best
there
of both worlds.
No best.
Come on
There's
now.
There's no best. There's no best.
Are you trying to tell me that I can't say no to Mayor Bloomberg's idea that he should regulate how much soda I can or can't drink?
You must say no.
Well, of course you say no to that. Because
as a man, what kind of man are you to let somebody tell you how many damn ounces your cup can contain?
What kind of man are you? Isn't it
you to the core of your being?
You could go one step further.
Our government thinks he can tell you that.
But then you could go one step further and say, what kind of man are you to tell somebody else who they can or can't have sex with? Honestly, like literally, like that's what.
Who tells them that? Well, no, society does. I say you can't have sex with an underage child.
Of course not.
And you agree?
Yep.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Nope, it's not unreasonable.
We need to protect
Is it okay
our
if kids. Two men have sex and then get married?
Well, maybe that's two questions.
Well, okay. Is it okay if two men have two sex?
Sure.
Can they get married?
Go have sex. I might have to like it.
Can they get married? Or have a civil union?
That's an interesting question.
Have a civil union?
And the conservatives are not united on it,
right?
Believe it or not.
Now, of course they're not. No, I know.
Now, there are two very good arguments. One argument is this is a traditional foundational premise, one that goes back through all of history, and it is a legitimate function of government to define what a legal marriage is. There is another group of conservatives who say, well, things have changed. We are willing to moderate on that. Not moderate, God, no.
You're being good. Listen. I'm glad that you used the word moderate there because you're becoming very progressive.
I know.
You're becoming very progressive with your stance, and that's good. That's good for you to become. Okay, all right. All right, I'll give you a pass on that one.
Holy cow.
I'll give you a pass on that. That's fine.
Oh, man. That just,
I know. It almost made you want to throw up in your own mouth, didn't it? Like, you felt.
There are conservatives who attack the legitimacy of government defining marriage at all and whose government should not be involved in marriage. which is consistent with conservatism. I think the traditional argument is also consistent with conservatism. I do have an idea of how it's all going to work out in the end.
Right. Yeah.
I think that cake is baked. I think society is going to move on towards gay marriage, which I think will probably help the conservatives, like the movement from the Democrats away from coddling criminals to not giving a damn about them, really help them back in the early 90s.
Well, Kurt, this is Justin here with Mark. It's so
Justin.
Hey. So it sounds like you more or less politically see the writing on the wall and are ready to move away from the gay bashing that's gone on the right. But politically,
there's not gay bashing going on the right. It is not. I hate gays. Like some people have very like the president until about 9 months ago had very great concerns about the effect on society of gay marriage. I think it's a legitimate thing to look at. It's a legitimate question to raise, and it doesn't mean that you hate gay people. In fact, there are many gay people and more coming into the conservative movement because, frankly, conservatism is the natural home of gay Americans.
Republicans, right. But, you know, in 04, the conservatives rode the anti-gay marriage.
Conservatives. I'm talking Tea Partiers.
Oh.
There are gay tea parties out there, and we love them.
You do?
They're awesome. Absolutely.
Okay, now.
Why should you hate somebody because they're gay?
There's no reason for it.
That'd be stupid. Who's the guy who says you should?
There's a lot of people. Let's be honest. There's been a few very high profile individuals within the conservative movement, regardless of whether they're associated with the Tea Party or they're backed by the Tea Party or not, that have gone out of their way to say some controversial statements
Who was one recently? I can't say of anyone recently. Yeah, because it doesn't happen anymore recently because people have changed.
No, I'm just saying they've had in the past.
Are guys smoking in your studio?
I don't think Romney was very progressive.
Guys don't smoke in your studio because things change. Our view towards cigarettes change. Our view towards gay folks have changed.
Well, there is a no smoking sign in my studio, but then it has the words LOL written in bright green right over the top of it. So, like,
I love how you fight the power.
Well, you got to understand the KYRO at 1280, which is WestplexNewsTalk.com, which you are listening to right now. I'm Mark Bland, the Q now, and we have Kurt Schlichter on, a contributor to Breitbart, and the author of I Am a Liberal and I Am a Conservative, both available on Amazon.com. This is a conservative radio station. I'm preceded by Glenn Beck and postceded by G. Gordon Liddy, which is amazing in itself. That right in the middle of that is an hour and a half to 2 hours of just unabashed, moderate, liberal discussion. And then right back into it.
They think you can make money for them. That's the way it should be.
Of course
Why
it is.
Why should you be subsidized like Air America?
Well,
you're going out, you're getting customers.
I'm trying to. It's not going real well. I mean, you got to realize this is the St. Louis market. It's a very conservative market. My viewpoints are not very a common belief in this area. There's just not. And so for me
you'll find an audience or you won't. We'll
exactly.
The market will decide.
Well, I found an audience. I just haven't found many advertisers. Let's be honest. That's what it really comes down to because and I do want to talk about the private sector businesses. I want to talk with you a few minutes about this fiscal cliff situation. I want to talk about because I'm going to tease it right now, but it comes right down to the idea that my belief is you don't create jobs because you got more money. You create jobs because there is more demand for what you make and provide. Legitimately. That's almost economics 101. And
let me ask you something. Why am I not hiring another lawyer?
You're not hiring another lawyer because you don't have the demand for the need for another lawyer. That's my opinion.
No, that's not so.
Okay, what is your reason?
Demand. I could probably employ another lawyer right now.
Then go do it.
I don't know if doing that will make me money.
Well, how would you not?
Situation.
Listen. You have a table full of cases that are not getting tried because you either can't effectively get to them fast enough, or the people are going to walk away before you can get to them because you're not getting to them effectively fast enough.
Table. I've got salaried lawyers who I just have work more hours.
Right, of course. Yes, we get it, Mr. Frick. We understand. we understand.
Well, hold on. Am I a freaking charity?
No, you're not a charity.
Give me my company.
Nope, you're not a charity.
Am I the guy who started working out, mopping out stalls at McDonald's? Hey, I'm not here to make other people rich. I want to. I like
to. You're there to have them make you rich.
Yes.
Yes. So let's be honest.
And if I'm not going to get my dough, I'm not going to play.
Right. But even
my time is worth, because my money, my time. Because that's what money is. It's my time. It's the life I choose.
Okay, so you want to play. I get it. You want to play that gray area of the value of your time and your personal emotional investment for yourself within your projects.
Oh, no.
Versus the business aspect, the actual technical business aspect of what it takes to run a business. You want to play those against each other so you can justify with circular reasoning your purpose for why you want to or don't want to hire or not hire. Listen, it's real simple.
If
you
got somebody else
right now, be totally honest with me.
Money,
okay.
For sure.
All right. Okay. We got 30 seconds before we hit the bottom of the hour. CBS News. We got Kurt Schlichter on from with Breitbart.com. Listen, quick question for you. Right now, you have enough cases on the table that could justify another lawyer. You want to play that, well, maybe I will win the lottery, maybe I won't win the lottery game. But the truth is you still have to run your business to show that you're a good business man at running a business. Do you hire another lawyer?
I will hire another lawyer when I think it's going to make me money. And simply because I have additional work that I can put off on other people doesn't necessarily make economic sense for me to buy another lawyer.
All right,
the lawyer costs a lot of money. It's $100,000 a year.
Kurt, we're at the bottom of the hour.
If I'm getting taxed at 50%, I've got to make $200,000 a year to make another lawyer.
Kurt, we're at the bottom of the hour. I've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Kurt Schlichter on the Q Now right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. You can find out more about this show every single Saturday from noon till 2 p.m. But, of course, that has to do a lot with whether we have basketball coming up for the Missouri Tigers. Of course, it was football there for a while, but now it's basketball. But regardless of that, definitely check us out, theqnow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, a little bit about myself, Justin, and everything else. Today, we have on one gentleman extraordinaire that I am extremely proud and happy to have said has been on my show. Mr. Kurt Schlichter, a contributor to townhall.com as well as to Breitbart.com, the author of two books, I Am a Conservative and I Am a Liberal, both number one bestsellers on Amazon.com. You can buy them for Christmas, which is coming up very shortly. And we've just been kind of going back and forth, talking a little bit about liberal and conservative politics and some of the ideas. And Justin's had some stuff. But Kurt, you okay? You hanging in there with me, sir?
I'm kicking it old school.
You're kicking it old school. All right. I like that.
Yeah, I have a lot of street credibility.
Now, how old are you, sir? Because I don't think that I have ever asked.
I will be 48 years old the day before Christmas.
48? You were born on Christmas Eve.
I was born on Christmas Eve.
That's impressive, man. How was it? Be honest with me.
I chose it.
Yeah, of course you did. Well, I mean, you know, you guys do control a lot over there. The question I have for you is as a person born on Christmas Eve, how was that when it came to birthday presents and Christmas presents for you growing up?
I cashed in.
You cashed in heavy, huh?
It was pretty sweet. No one would dare do the joint Christmas birthday present.
Right.
That wasn't in the cards.
Did you hold it to him? Did you hold it to him? Like if they even tried to pull that card on you,
it never even occurred to anybody to take that kind of risk.
Okay, all right. I mean, did you tell him you were a paratrooper?
Well, I don't have to tell them. I've got the badge.
All right. Fair enough.
I radiate it.
How long have you been a... we haven't really talked much about you personally. How long have you been in the United States military, and thank you for your service?
I enlisted in the military on May 20th, 1987.
Okay. And now were you a part of Operation Enduring Freedom?
I was part of Operation Enduring Freedom. I thought I was going to go. I thought I was going to back to the Middle East, but I ended up going to Kosovo for 16 months.
Now,
from 2004 to 2006.
Now, Kosovo, that was a dangerous area. I mean that.
No, it was thanks to us. It was quite safe. I didn't even have.
Oh, by the time you got there, yeah. No, okay.
By the time I got there, we left. And it was much better after after my unit rotated out. So I'm very proud of what we did over there with 1,700 folks. We kept the lid on an enormous potential problem, and we have a very pro-American ally in the Kosovars.
Now,
I'm very proud of what we did over there.
I'm not against the military. My father was a Vietnam veteran. My grandfather served in World War II. I did not serve in the military. My brother did not serve in the military. Those were our choices, personally. I decided that I wanted to entertain the world. That's what I would have rather done. I'm sure I could have done that after the military or with the military. But regardless of that, I feel that there's a lot of people that get into the military because they want to escape the town they're from. Escape the town.
I think that's one of the, to some extent, that was one of the motivating factors for me. I was a fairly affluent suburban kid, and I felt that I wanted to kind of see the world, but I also had other things I wanted to do.
I don't think it's because that they were...
I felt a great debt for our country, and I still do.
I don't think it was because they were very patriotic, though. I don't think it had anything to do with patriotism, honestly.
Well, it was an escape. You spend a little more time with soldiers. Fortunately, I still get to, and spend a little time with them. And, you don't see a lot of... my guys don't have to talk about it.
Are you sure you're not just towing the company line?
It's already on their shoulder.
I mean, I know a United States military veteran, or he's not a veteran. He's still active. He's in the National Guard, I think. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong on that. But I know he's still active. He has been on my show. This man has actually physically told me to my face, because of his conservative viewpoints and stance, that he does not like the fact that he is being forced against his will to protect that president of the United States. Where do you stand on something when someone says something like that? Do you agree with him?
I think that is kind of a silly attitude. This is a republic.
It is a silly attitude.
Our president is Barack Obama. He was
By the way, this individual retweets you.
He is a legitimate president. He was elected. He is our commander-in-chief, and he will be treated as our commander-in-chief because the American people chose that. When you're wearing the uniform of the United States, you have made certain commitments, and that means you're committing to be probably the most important component of a democratic society.
Right, and
the most important component is the willingness to lose.
And that was my thing. I thought, honestly, that the minute he said that to me, like he said he was being forced against his will, like he has to do it because it's his job. Other than that, he wouldn't do it at all. And here's the funny. He retweets you. He thinks everything that you say is gold that comes out of your mouth, Mr. Schlichter. And this guy supports you, which is fine.
I think he inartfully presented his frustration with a commander-in-chief that, he has political disagreements with.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
This guy would follow lawful orders, even if it cost him his life. I have zero knowledge. Now, the military does not require you to work only for people who you voted for. If it did, this wouldn't be much of a country. This would be a fascist country.
Well, I'm just glad to see that there's a person like yourself.
I guess that some people are frustrated they've lost the election. I'm frustrated.
Exactly. And that seems to be the problem that I have. The majority of people that hit my...
I think that was an inartfully stated feeling that doesn't... that's essentially meaningless.
Fair enough.
I have no doubt.
That has nothing to do with you. I just thought it was really weird that there's a military individual who does actively work for our military, gets a government paycheck, and has that kind of a stance. Because the truth is that if this was the 1700s or the 1800s, and you said something like that to anyone else who took it out of context, it would be brought up the ladder to the point of treason. Like, people would be like, "Wait, well, what did you just say?"
No,
you don't think so?
Defined,
I'm not saying that he's treasonous.
Oh,
no. I said in the past.
Treason is a defined term in the Constitution. Everybody, you know, all these people throw the word treason around,
yes,
and it's stupid.
Okay.
Because treason is defined in the Constitution. It's not a statute. It's not a common law.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, so, finally.
When anybody starts talking about treason, I'm like, well, why don't you pull out your Constitution, show me where that is.
Right, exactly.
Just somebody disagrees with you.
And that's what I'm saying.
Treason.
That's exactly. That's my point. My point is that in the past, that could have been looked at as something like that. In 2012 and today, that's not the way it works, and that's not where we're at. And I hear it a lot, and I agree with you.
Look, if either you and I was, quote-unquote, held to account for every inartful statement that we ever made, I think, and if everyone was, our society would grind to a halt.
True.
When somebody says something like that, you go, you don't really mean that. You'll do what you've got to do. And he'll go, oh, yeah, of course. I'm just frustrated. All right. Hey, look, a squirrel. And then you move on. Well, okay. It doesn't uncover some great revelation. The only revelation is there about 48% of Americans are very frustrated that this terrible, terrible president got reelected by 50.6%.
But you recognize his legitimacy, which was very interesting to hear you say that.
Everybody recognizes the president's legitimacy.
I'm sorry, they're the right wing blogs that I look at because
the
they're interesting.
Blogs? Which ones are those?
The great guy behind Unskewed Polls. Some of the stuff he's come up with post-election. Look, it's fascinating how people...
Mind you that Justin is a much harder liberal than I am.
Yes, I'm not a swing voter like Mark. I'm the left. You're the right.
Statistically, you're always going to have people who have views that are wacky, silly...
Yeah, we call them conservatives.
And I agree, but to be fair, these feelings are what turned the Tea Party. The Tea Party, and all the success it had in 2010. A lot of that was based on these feelings of we're under tyranny, and he's not a legitimate president. We need to see a birth certificate. He's a secret Kenyan, secret Muslim.
Look, Justin, you're making a grave error. You are fighting the enemy you want to fight. Not the enemy that you're facing. Now, I as Napoleon said, let your opponent keep making a mistake when he's doing it.
No,
but let me give you an example. I want to give you an example from Desert Storm.
Sure.
I was near Seventh Corps headquarters during Desert Storm.
So
we
excited
went in
to hear
there,
you out.
And we planned to fight the most powerful, toughest, equivalent to the Russians that we were going to destroy in the Europe. We went down to there. The Iraqis, we planned to fight an enemy that was just as tough as the Russians. And, of course, we started the fight. It went so fast, I didn't even get called forward. I mean, we just overran the hell out of them.
Yes.
And because we planned to fight not the enemy that we wanted. We fought the enemy at his worst, at his toughest, at his best. If we fought the enemy we wanted, we would be unprepared. We would be inaccurate. We wouldn't know what we're doing. You are fighting the enemy you want. You want the Tea Party to be crazy. You want the Tea Party to be racist. You want the Tea Party to be unreasonable.
Really?
You want the Tea because it's easier to fight them because then you don't have to engage on what they're really saying.
I'm not one of those people that takes things out of context very often at all. Whatever they say is pretty much what I react to directly.
Oh, please.
Oh, come on now. You're a human being too, man. Let's call a spade here, okay? You're a human being too. Nobody just wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what today would be a great day for? Trying to start some crap with somebody out there in the United States. Let's do this. Let's go. Like, that doesn't happen, man. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you wash your hair, take a shower. Take a crap, do whatever you got
to
do, and then what
I
you do.
I start crap while I
exactly.
take crap.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point. That's the point right there. Kurt, you just admitted
I always,
it. That's the point. That's right. You're always looking for a fight. You're always starting crap. You're always trying to throw the bombs. As somebody else that recently has been on my show likes to say about me, you're the kind of guy who just admitted on my show with an audio clip, I like to start crap. I'm that guy.
I do.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's contrarianism for contrarianism.
My whole job is to get out there and fight. Somebody
exactly.
Has to fight.
Exactly. But what are you fighting against?
He likes to wrestle. What are you don't like fires. They like putting them out.
What do you like? Who are you fighting against? What are you fighting? Like, okay, let's talk about this Jim DeMent thing. You brought the Jim DeMent thing.
It's you know, I was going to say, actually, contrary to what you believe, Kurt, like, I wish I dealt with more people like you. Out there in sunny L.A., you've taken on some very progressive stances on homosexuality, things like that. I feel like, you
for
know,
a for a regressive, you're very progressive.
Absolutely. But Mark and I are out here in Missouri.
Don't call me progressive. Don't call me a moderate. I am neither of those.
You are a regressive. You are a regressive. You are a regressive. We have no problem
absolutely
calling you a regressive.
Not. I want to move forward to the state that human beings should be in, which is a state where their individuals are respected, where their rights are respected, where they're free to follow their dreams. You want to be a starving artist and a bum who does nothing but paint and wants to do the best painting he possibly can because that's his artistic vision. Nobody should be able to tell him yes or no, but they also shouldn't take my money to give it to him.
Now, we had a conversation, you and me. Okay, go ahead. Do with the DeMent thing. I want to talk about
The Senator Jim DeMent, South Carolina, quitting the Senate,
okay,
following the great tradition of conservative quitters like Sarah Palin.
Stop it.
And
I defend you. Yeah, I defended you on this one.
I'll admit, low-hanging fruit, but kind of had to grab it. But he's taking a job at the Heritage Foundation, and this is very interesting from all angles, all levels to me. And you, Kurt, could I call you a Tea Party leader? Tea Party.
I am not a leader,
icon.
But I'm certainly a sympathizer.
Tea Party. Sympathizer. I mean, with
whatever. Regardless,
powerful perch you have there at Breitbart. I'm just very interested in your take on this because, to me, this almost looks like a payoff to get him out of the Senate, get him to stop backing candidates that lose elections that really should have been easy pickups for the GOP.
Oh, good Lord. First of all, let's start out with the game, because I argue for a living. People pay me hundreds and hundreds of dollars an hour to argue, so I kind of like looking at arguments and how they work. First of all, you said he's quitting as if that's a bad thing, as if leaving one job to go on to another. The other one, the similar tact is to take something that's kind of pejorative, as if it shows some sort of moral failure. It has to do with guns. When people say, why do you own guns? What are you afraid of? Because then you're supposed to be doing something bad. I don't think it is wrong for someone to leave government. Government is not the fulfillment. Government is a thing that people should go in, do it for a little while, and then get out. Career government officials, I have a huge problem with, as did our brilliant founding fathers, and you guys should too. So I don't think it's quitting. I think you can do more effective work at the Heritage Foundation. They can't say, we're going to get another great conservative in there, either either McMaster's or Tim Scott. Nikki Haley's going to put somebody good in there, so we're not losing a seat. Jim DeMint has been having some frustration there, but going to the Heritage Foundation is going to an important intellectual bulwark of the conservative movement is a very powerful post. The other thing is, he's going to make a heck of a lot more money, and I'm all for that. At making only $174,000 a year as a senator, Jim DeMint was the fourth poorest guy in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate is a giant club of rich people.
Would you agree that Jim DeMint was worth $174,000 a year?
Well,
when he was a senator?
Me or you. It's the guys in South Carolina.
I'm just asking. I'm just saying. Do you feel that he's worth that? Do you think that...
I think senators should be paid more. I think judges should be paid more. I think congressmen should be paid more. When I worked for a congressman, he slept in his office because he had to maintain two houses. The idea that all congressmen are rich because they're in Congress is not necessarily true. They get rich in Congress if they're corrupt, like Harry Reid. They come in rich already.
Or Tom DeLay.
Or Nancy Pelosi. Or just anybody who's got the word Democrat after their name.
Nancy Pelosi had money before she came in, so Dianne Feinstein. And I think Barbara Boxer did, too. I don't like any of them, but, you know, I'm not here to say untrue things. They were rich before they came in. More power to them. California, for whatever reason, decided that they were the people they wanted in.
Well, you know,
that's why California is going to become America's Greece.
Well, you know, you say that politicians, you know, you beware career politicians, and it's not wrong to leave government. But when you campaign to the voters of a state to serve a term,
2 years ago,
you can leave government at the end of your term. But if you
win
an election and ask voters to vote for you, and then leave a third of the way into it, quitting.
I don't buy that.
We agree to disagree on that. Fair enough.
We don't have to agree to disagree. It's America. You can disagree with me all you want.
Fair enough. Yeah, I know.
I defended that right.
We disagree whether we agree to or not.
All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to move forward. I want to talk about something that you and me talked about together on Twitter, okay? You had made a comment, and it actually led to a little bit. And let me tell you something. Follow Kurt Schlichter. At Kurt Schlichter, K-U-R-T, Schlichter, S-C-H-L-I-C-H-T-E-R.
Nailed it.
Close enough.
Was that wrong?
It means guy who, in German, Schlichter is a guy who settles disputes amicably.
Lucky Whoa. For you, I'm
Did
an
you
Aries.
That?
You know what? Lucky for you, I'm an Aries, natural born leader. Okay, so here's the situation.
Written in the stars.
Yeah, written in the stars. Well before Jesus and anybody else in your Bibles existed. Now, listen, I'm a Catholic and a Christian. I get it. I just am willing to not throw scarlet letters around as easily. So here's the situation. Here's the situation. I feel that we had a discussion because he's a very, very, you are a very easygoing. You don't throw bombs on Twitter very often. Like, you throw your little statements out there that are obviously
provocative.
They're you know, you're trying to.
The crap out of stupid people.
Of course you do, but a guy like me,
they need to be freaking broken. You know,
a guy like me is the guy that's like, I got a master's degree. If I decided to do 4 more years and get my law degree, I'd probably be the richest lawyer in the United States. Like, I'm that guy. I understand. I understand how that works because I live that life. I mean, professional wrestling in itself is the idea of taking fake animosity and creating it for the sake of fake animosity. So it's what literally a courtroom drama comes down to on a week-to-week basis and a day-to-day basis 90% of the time. You take facts, you spin them however you want to.
What I do is you actually get to court.
Yep.
You failed.
Oh, that's a good point.
I know, you make a really good point.
So
No. I defend
company. You and me had a discussion on Twitter.
I never, ever want a chance for the other side to fight fair. I want to beat them well before we go to court.
So do I. That's why I would rather just walk out my front door and just beat the living crap out of someone, leave them laying on the street and move back. So here's the thing. My thing is this. You and me got to talking on Twitter, and you had made a comment, and I just, you know, we only got like four or five minutes left here. You had made a comment about the fact that, you know, you would like to undo certain aspects of the laws and policies in the United States of America. And we were talking about, you know, taking away welfare and things like that. Okay.
Oh, all of it.
If you remember, you had made the statement, just take all of it away. And I made the statement to you, what about the rioting that would happen from the upheaval of individuals that immediately would be affected by that? I never got the answer. How would we protect against that? What would we do? Would we turn on our own people? Would you do that? Would you turn on your own people? Like, if you took away, let's say you take away welfare and
when the army put me on the street to pacify Los Angeles in 1992?
Sure.
I spent 3 weeks with an automatic rifle and driving up and down Crenshaw because a bunch of degenerates were burning, looting, and pillaging.
Now,
the decent people were giving us food welcoming us. Would I shoot a rioter?
Yeah. I'm not saying you did. I'm asking you, would you? Would you?
Within the rules of engagement?
Yes, sir.
I'd always operate within, if called to do something like that.
The reason I'm saying is if you undo welfare,
react inappropriately.
Not to call you up. If you undo welfare, you're going to immediately have a few million people that are going to uprise immediately because you've basically taken away whatever they're using to get themselves back on their feet. Now, I understand your argument.
I think as a practical matter, it would probably have to go fairly slow. I would do it right away. But as a practical matter, the change that we're talking about, which is back to self-reliance, which is back to individuals taking care of themselves and their families.
Like I do this show, yes.
Earning the respect, self-respect that only comes from that. Because remember, government can give you anything except self-respect.
That's a very, very good point. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt, first off, let me say thank you so much for coming on to the queue. I think that it was extremely admirable of you to come on today to talk to me. There are a lot of individuals who, you know, they just see the political side of things and they just are like, oh, I refuse. I'm not going to go even blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and, but you
know,
did.
Other people may have better things to do. I found you amusing on Twitter. I told you I'd come on. Here I am. I've had an interesting time. You and Justin, you keep me on my toes. That's okay.
Would you be willing to come on again?
And I think it is good for conservatives to come on liberal shows.
Would you be willing to come on it again?
I'm sure I'll come on it again if you'll have me.
I would love to have you on. In fact, I'd like to have you on more often than you think, because I think that you're not like my Tea Party guy, Travis, who comes on, who takes an extremely hard right-wing edge. You actually are pretty logical.
Mine is hard right. Don't worry.
No, you are. But you're
the guy who wants to substitute the community.
You're more logical. But you're more logical. You don't throw as much emotion in there.
I'm trained to present ideas.
Exactly. You don't throw emotion.
I feel the same way other people do.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
Don't put me in the category of, Kurt's the reasonable conservative.
No. I don't believe you are. I do not believe that you are. I think it's just a simple fact of the matter that you're less emotional and you don't allow your emotions to override how you present your information.
I want to be clear. You don't want to be classified as a reasonable conservative?
I'm sorry?
Did I hear that you don't want to be classified as the more reasonable conservative?
Stop it. No, we're done.
I don't want to be reasonable. Never call me reasonable. That's a terrible thing. It's like calling me a moderate.
What I will tell
you, unreasonable and unflinching in my
you
love
are
of freedom
the,
in the American
listen,
way.
Listen, I'm just going to be honest. You are the greatest progressive moderate conservative right-winger that I've ever met, okay?
Worst thing you could ever say.
Listen, you are absolutely fine. Listen, I want to say thank you to Kurt Schlichter.
Thank you.
Kurt, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Kurt Schlichter's book, I Am a Conservative and I Am a Liberal, both available on Amazon.com. Pick that up for Christmas. Also, you can find him at townhall.com, as well as a contributor to Breitbart.com. He's got some very interesting articles that you guys should go check out on Breitbart.com. And, Kurt, is there anything else?
I got a new one on how Lord of the Rings is going to be is very, very conservative. That'll be coming out.
Really? Yeah, we're going to have to bring you on again because me and Justin are very big Walking Dead fans, and we heard something you said about The Walking Dead, but we're not going to get into that right now. We're at the top of the hour. Breitbart's...
And Lori's dead, all is right in the world.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Kurt Schlichter. We're going to take a quick break here on The Cube. We'll be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, I send Justin out after that wonderful discussion with our man Kurt Schlichter, as well as coming back and talking to a few people about a few different things after the fact. But we got Rob Davis, Cracker Behind the Glass, doing sports every single week, as we always do. Cracker, what's going on, bud?
I get this feeling that Justin's afraid of my sports acumen.
I think he is.
Anytime I'm here, he's gone. He's nowhere to be found. And it just pumps my ego up even more every week that he runs off.
He's afraid of you, similar to other media professionals in the St. Louis area at sports stations. He's just afraid of you.
Yeah, we'll just leave them unnamed.
We'll say that they are unnamed. So what's going on in the world of sports? I haven't been keeping up at all much, so you are going to be blowing my mind left and right, as well as hopefully all the listeners.
All right. Biggest event, of course, last night, and it's ruined the one thing that might have saved boxing. Manny Pacquiao gets knocked out in the sixth round by Marquez.
Pacquiao gets knocked out. Now, that was the fourth fight, right?
The fourth fight. And Pacquiao had been 2-0-1 going in. There was one draw, two wins for Pacquiao. Every decision was controversial. Every single decision could have gone either way. It was that every fight was that good.
Well, I thought there was the first fight went definitely to Marquez because, like, he beat him. Like there was
Marquez had not won up until the knockout.
Now Marquez. Now, oh wait. Pacquiao won definitively in the first one. Then the next two were like real close, right?
I even felt like the first one was close, having seen it myself. I did not see Pacquiao pulling away the way he should, considering this is a guy that's got 6 years on him. He's he's supposed to be one of the greatest fighters in the world. Everything that we've been living on in boxing, we talked about this a little bit last week. That everything in boxing has worked around the fact of we're waiting for Pacquiao and Mayweather to stop doing this dance and finally get a fight going.
Now, question. Do you feel that this has really hurt that chance? I have a different opinion. If you feel it's hurt the chance, I actually have a different opinion. I think that this might be Mayweather realizes, oh, crap, he lost. If
they do a rematch and Marquez knocks him out again or wins that match again, then there's no wind in the sails for a potential Pacquiao versus Mayweather fight at all. Like, it's done. So maybe we need to hit while the iron's hot before the sails lose wind.
Well, old boy Money got to get out of prison first. That's the one issue we're going
to
run into.
And he's supposed to be out of prison when?
I'd have to look it up. I know that he's still got a significant amount of time left to where it would be figured into the plan of how long we're going to wait for a fight. The other problem here is that a fifth fight between Marquez and Pacquiao is not going to happen. And it shows why boxing is dying compared to the UFC. How many guys have faced each other three times in the UFC even? I mean, can you name me any trilogy
that have faced each other three times in the UFC? I thought
as upper level contenders, not as the lower card guys.
I would say Couture Liddell.
Couture Liddell, that's one. And you're talking about two of the greatest fighters of all time.
I think the BJ Penn, GSP, George St. Pierre, BJ Penn. That was a three way dance.
Again, two of the greatest of all time.
Right.
Who's Marquez?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but let's not take it away from him. Right now, he's the champ.
Yeah.
He did win. It took him four fights over the last, 10 years?
But who are we going to be talking about Marquez in 10 years? Not a chance.
No. Nobody was talking about Marquez before. In fact, to be honest with you, when I had heard that Pacquiao was taking on a guy named Marquez, I didn't even know they had three fights before this. I had no clue. No clue.
Yeah. And that goes back to what we were talking about last week with the boxing versus UFC of Dana knows how to build a card and boxing really just does not understand. It's the Vince McMahon sports entertainment. People right. don't want to see people fight. You know, Pacquiao is somebody we'll talk about for the rest of his life. Talk about the greatest fighters of all time. Marquez is not in that group. The guys that Dana White has put in those trilogies and those multiple fight setups are guys that we're going to talk about forever.
Yeah, you're totally right. And, you know, the days of boxing having the great fight happening anyway have been gone for, like, literally the last 10 years plus, easily. Like, the last great fight turned out to be a non-issue was Tyson versus Evander Holyfield, the second or the third time or whatever it was, and it was a non-event. It literally ended up being a non-event because he just got his butt kicked again, Tyson did. And that's when everybody realized, okay, it's done. Like, there's no more great fights left. Lennox Lewis is already retired. Oscar De La Hoya was probably the last great. Him and Floyd Money were the last, but they were early in their careers, but there wasn't no one underneath them for them to even challenge. You know, the Klitschkos have been holding on to the title for like the last 7 years, and they haven't lost it, and no one cares. And exactly. The reason is because they're over there in Europe, you know? And that's the other thing, I think, and this is just my personal opinion, I think it's time for all the – they need Dana White to come into boxing and fix that. That's what they need. If boxing wants to get back on the right track, take a guy who used to be a professional boxer, who now owns the UFC and has turned that around, tell him to get into there with the boxing guys. Like, no more of this, hey, we're going to talk about this, your guy calls my guy and my machine calls your machine for the next, you know, 2.5 years, trying to argue about piss tests and all that, excuse my language. But at the same point, throw it out there. Let's just do this.
And, you know, and how many times has Dana punished guys for ducking fights? Exactly. If you back out of a fight, you know, even with injury, backing out of fights for injuries, Dana will punish you if he feels like you're doing it to protect yourself or protect your title or, you know, protect the money.
Right.
And Dana doesn't put up with that. And boxing does. Boxing should have already stepped in and said, here's the deal. We're going to set the contract. You're both getting 50%. That's all. Now you're going to go fight in Vegas and what, you know, January, February, whatever it is. And there's going to be a fight and you're going to do this and you're going to
stop. I say the way you do it is you set it up, which is a 50-50 net. And then you give the winner a bonus. The winner gets a bonus over the top because they won the actual match.
And what does that sound a whole lot like? Dana White's system.
Exactly. So what else you got, Cracker?
All right. Heisman World, the college football world, got another shock last night. Johnny Manziel from Texas A&M takes home the Heisman, the first year player to take it home.
Now, is he – Texas A&M, were they any good last year?
No.
Were they any good the year before that?
No.
So this dude comes in. They have one decent season. This is almost like the who was the Chinese guy who played for the Knicks?
Jeremy Lin.
Is this the Jeremy Lin of college football situation?
Well, it's a different ballgame. I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, so he was on the team last year. He was redshirted, so this is his first season actually playing.
Right.
The kid is just – he's an amazing athlete. I mean, they went out there, and, you know, the timeline that was given the best that I saw as far as what ESPN's coverage of it was they lost opening to Florida after going out to like a 14-0 or 20-0 lead. They lost to Florida because Johnny kind of fell off in the second half. Now you fast forward a few weeks to Texas A&M Alabama, where A&M jumped out to against number one Alabama, jumps out to another huge lead, and Johnny managed to hold his own, manage the game, keep it together in the second half, and they knock off the number one team in the country, number nine in the BCS.
Now, is this situation with this what's his name, Johnny Manziel? Is that what you said?
Manziel, yeah.
Manziel. Is he as good as Colt McCoy was? Is he as good as, you know, Eric, what's his name was for Nebraska back in the day? Like Eric Crouch. You know, like, is this kid on point like that, you know? Or is he going to become another, the guy who ended up, this is the problem. This is why I have you, Rob. I have you in sports because you know who I'm talking about. Ryan Leaf. That's who I was thinking about. Is he going to become another Ryan Leaf?
Well, Ryan Leaf was very talented. It was a matter of his attitude was the problem, and he had suffered from hardening of the ear flaps, and just that wrecked him. Colt McCoy was never really going to be a great NFL quarterback. I never saw that in him. Eric Crouch was a system quarterback, and that's kind
of funny. Is he was a system quarterback at a time when they were trying to phase out of that system? But what are they proving in the NFL in 2012? What are they proving specifically? You take a system quarterback like him, and he's going to spread that field and eat people alive.
Well, the difference is Crouch did not have the height that a Cam Newton or an RG3 has. The Nebraska offense, their system was different from anything you see in the NFL, even the things that they tried to do with Michael Vick in the early days.
But that's basically what RG3 is doing right now with Washington. He's got a spread on the offense, and literally he's just running the option. Maybe I'll run it, maybe I won't.
Well, Crouch doesn't have anywhere near the arm strength. He was also only 6 foot tall. I mean, if anything, Crouch was more of a Doug Flutie type, which is he was never going to see sustained success in the NFL. He just didn't have the tools.
All right.
Manziel's too young at this point, really, to know because
he's still early in his college career.
Yeah, I mean, but 3,000 passing yards, 1,000 rushing yards, 43 touchdowns between running and passing.
Do you think he stays smart, Rob? Do you think he stays smart and he stays in school for a couple more years? Do you think he does the full 4 years like Grant Hill? Or do you think that he decides, I got the same trophy that O.J. Simpson had sitting on his thing. Maybe I'll find myself a guy and his girlfriend and take him out. You know? what do you think he does?
And not every Heisman winner does that, Mark. We gotta get you out of that mindset.
That's true.
But he's got at least minimum one or two more years because you have to have 3 years in.
Aside from O.J. Simpson, which Heisman Trophy winner has actually gone on to, in your opinion, the most success?
Oh, God, that's a lot to ask. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Charles Woodson. I think him being –
Charles Woodson. I didn't even know Charles Woodson had won the Heisman. Oh, was he was Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michigan. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he struck the Heisman post in the end zone that year. Woodson, to me, I really did not have high expectations for him coming out of college. I thought he'd be a good corner, not a great corner. I thought that he'd kind of fit more in Desmond Howard role. But the defensive side, rather than being a wide receiver kick returner, I thought he'd be good. Great special teams player. And he's locked down. You do not throw to his side of the field when he's there. And he's one of the, at least in history, he's got to be one of the best as far as pro career.
Okay.
But Manziel's still got a minimum of 2 more years left in college. You know, trying to project who's going to stay and go this early on, it's a fool's errand. There's no point in trying to do it because, you know, the quarterback class in 2 years could be stacked. We don't know.
Let's finish this out strong, man. Let's finish it out strong. What do you got last thing on your plate?
All right. The Los Angeles Dodgers continue to put the baseball world on its ear. They have reportedly agreed to a 6-year, $147 million deal with Zach Greinke, the right-hander that formerly of the Los Angeles Angels. The Dodgers also are currently in negotiations for a 25-year, $3 billion, or $6 billion, sorry, television deal.
Really?
So what that means, so what this means, one, they've just given Zach Greinke more than any right-handed pitcher in history has ever received.
Okay.
And
does that surprise you, considering the way that sports in general, always every year, there's somebody who gets paid more than they ever should?
The Dodgers, though, they're changing the game for everybody.
For Steinbrenner, he's dead.
Oh, the Yankees are trying to get down to $189 million. The Dodgers are now the first team in the history of the National League to have a $200 million payroll with Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Zach Greinke. The Dodgers are going to be making more money off their contract or their television contract than they can spend on their payroll without paying the luxury tax. They are in a whole new stratosphere that even the Yankees can't even hope to reach.
Thanks to Magic Johnson, the Basketball Hall of Famer.
Well, I'd give a lot more credit to Stan Kasten than I would to Magic Johnson. But yes, the Guggenheim Group, Magic Johnson, the group that bought the Dodgers this year, they have come in and stomped a mud hole. And everybody said, we're going to spend more than anybody else does, and we don't care about the ramifications.
Now, we're in St. Louis. The St. Louis Cardinals have basically done more with less over the last 2 years than most teams have had, period. Like, we don't have an astronomical amount of money that we're spending on baseball players. Everyone agrees at this point now that we could have used Albert. I think Albert could have been the difference between making the World Series and winning it this year and not.
I still can't get on that bandwagon. I'm sorry. The Cardinals made the best move for the long term of the franchise by not signing Albert and not committing that money.
I completely disagree. I think that Albert Pujols, listen, you're already dealing with baseball players that are asking for a lot of money. This is a man, fair enough, he made the decision to go for the more money, okay? And I'm not going to knock the baseball Cardinals for it. And I know you're a big baseball guy. I know you win all the fantasy leagues and you know all the players, okay? Hold on. Hear me out. I think it's only fair to state that, yeah, it wasn't unfair for Albert to ask for the amount of money that he asked for. I think that he was well within his rights to ask for that kind of money because at the time it dictated it. And I think the truth is that he was worth it. And yes, we could have used a few more runs, a few more thises at the end of this season that possibly could have put these guys into the World Series. I'm not saying guaranteed to win it, but it's possible.
How'd the Angels do last year, Mark?
Doesn't matter how the Angels did. The fact is the Angels' full team is worse than the St. Louis Cardinals. Take one piece and add it to the St. Louis Cardinals, which was Albert Pujols, you're actually going to take the team up a good 10%.
And I don't see that. I think we got great production out of first base between Alan Craig and Lance Berkman. And every move, yes, if you make moves in a vacuum, yeah. If it was not about money or anything else, yeah, signing Albert Pujols to a contract may not have been the worst thing to do. But nothing in baseball is done in a vacuum. Just like the Zach Greinke contract is going to have effects on pitchers' contracts from here on out. The move of signing Albert has a lot of effects down the road for the Cardinals of can we afford – we're not – you know, like you said, we're not Dodgers. We're not the Yankees. We're not the Red Sox. We're a mid-market team that has to spread the resources around or else we're going to end up being at the bottom of the division.
Fair enough.
And with the production we got out of Alan Craig last year, I'm very confident that he can be a competent and successful, even all-star caliber – first baseman.
I think that the St. Louis Cardinals, being primarily a Boston Red Sox fan, secondary favorite team is the St. Louis Cardinals because I've grown up here my whole life. I know you're looking around. I see you. I guarantee you're taking the phone away from your head. You're looking around like this douchebag. He's telling me stuff. Like, listen, let me tell you something. I think that this Cardinals team over the next 5 years has the potential to be as good. As the 1994 St. Louis Cardinals baseball team was. I think that you have at least Bernard Gilkey talent on this club, is what I'm saying.
Did you just really reference the 1994 St. Louis Cardinals?
Bernard Gilkey talent. Royce Clayton. That's all I'm saying. You have Royce Clayton skills.
Clayton wasn't until 96, by the way.
Alan Craig is as good as Royce Clayton was.
Alan Craig is an all-star caliber first baseman. I stake every bit of my reputation on that because I rode him to two money finishes this year in fantasy baseball.
Alan Craig is as talented as Chipper Jones was year one of his contract. As talented.
You're comparing apples and oranges as far as the type of players are. Alan Craig is a guy, he's a professional hitter, has bat, will travel. The guy just flat out rakes and shocked me. Because I thought he's going to be another one of these fourth outfielders that kind of bounced around. No, Alan Craig is legit.
Yes, if he has another good year, he'll almost be in the same caliber as David Eckstein. Almost.
Mark.
Almost.
You're just killing your credibility with every
sports guy in the United States of America.
Yeah, right. Pretty much.
Right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Sports on the Q. Rob Davis, you take care of yourself for another week, sir. It was great talking to you.
You too, brother. CBG out.
All right, man. We will see Rob Davis next time on the Q. We'll be back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Q, of course, with Mark Bland and joined, of course, as I am every week with my news guy, Justin Deming.
Here I am.
Dymofo, D-E-Y-E-M-O-F-O on Twitter, the enabler, as we like to call him.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to work in a, first off, Kurt Schlichter, class act, thank you so much for coming
fantastic
on.
Fantastic guest. That was awesome.
It was, even though we don't necessarily always agree or we agree to disagree.
Or we disagree.
And he's not reasonable.
To agree to disagree.
He's not reasonable.
Do not call him reasonable.
He's not reasonable. But you're trying.
He was reasonable.
You're trying to. Yeah, he was relatively regressive and reasonable.
But a great guest.
A great guest. You, on the other hand, are trying to turn some cliches into mm-hmm. common vernacular.
Am I?
Yes, you were. There was a cliche you had used earlier on our way out here.
Oh, good chatter.
Good chatter
on the field.
The good chatter on the field. That's going. That you're trying to turn that into something.
I'm not trying.
Almost a steampunk thing.
Chatter
sounds like something that like steampunk. Something like our friend Sherlock Holmes would say. Chatter.
Well, it's
very good chatter on the field. My dander is strong today.
Actually, in workplaces where I've managed, you know, I have a background managing restaurants
yep.
and bars and things like that.
Right.
It was a common phrase I would use to keep up good communication, which is key to any kind of function like that. I would just say good chatter on the field.
And we had good chatter on the field with Kurt Schlichter.
Yeah. That was great chatter on the field.
That was great chatter on the field. Now, of course, Justin is our weekly news guy. So, Justin, let me get you set up here. I got the breaking news sound effect that I like to. I gotta load it though. I forgot to load it. We were so busy.
Oh my goodness!
We were so busy talking to our friend Kurt Schlichter that I literally forgot to. Where is it?
He was a very, very reasonable, unreasonable man. I don't know. It was great.
He even called himself a moderate or a moderate stance, and then he immediately like almost got like he threw up in his own mouth.
Yeah, that was classic. But he was, you know, I think it was interesting. Oh, news.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. It's time for Justin Deming and the news section with Dymofo. Go ahead, Mofo.
Well, let's go ahead and revisit that. I feel like people should be on their rooftops shouting out what big news this is.
Okay.
But Senator DeMint
okay.
from South Carolina, one of, as mentioned by our guest, one of the poorest senators.
Yes.
Quitting his position.
Yes.
Not trying to put a bad or good connotation, but flatly quitting his position in the Senate to lead a think tank with the Heritage Foundation.
Is there anything wrong with that, though?
I'm not agreeable to people running in elections telling voters that I want to represent you, I want to represent these values,
right.
and then just leaving. Not fulfilling their mission.
I think that you have a good point there. At the same point, what do you think that the purpose was? Why do you think he did this?
And he is going to be making a cool million from the Heritage Foundation. Now, there is such a thing as wingnut welfare. There is these Koch brothers or these big billionaire funders of the GOP movement
right.
that made the AstroTurf Tea Party movement, that made all these foundations and think tanks, that make all these newspapers that lose money, that host all these radio shows, built this conservative entertainment complex, as it's
right.
commonly referred to. I truly think this is a payoff to get him out of the way, because DeMint has been, he is one of the Kool-Aid drinkers. He is one of the true believers. He's not one of the, he doesn't, you know, they say Democrats fall in love and Republicans fall in line.
Okay.
Well, with this new Tea Party movement, they've gotten people raised on a generation
of falling in love
of falling in love with this conservative movement. And they don't, you know, they don't know that it's just rhetoric.
Right.
Like some of the pros do, like the Romney, the money people. They know it's rhetoric. They know they're
oh, it's all built around rhetoric. Schlichter, as much as I appreciate him being on the show, and it was a great list. It was great to listen to. If you get a chance, go to theqnow.com. Listen to the episode again if you missed it. Listen to it. Take a listen to what he says. We were having some technical glitches at the beginning, but regardless of that, we got a majority of the interview in. You know, you take a listen to that, and you'll see right there. You'll see right there all the buzzwords. He clicked in on it, but he didn't take as emotional stance as I thought he would. He's emotionally involved.
Oh yeah,
he has an emotional feel, but he didn't take the emotional stance I thought he would take.
I think he underestimates what a large part of his base is that emotional and the religious right. He didn't strike me as the especially religious right kind, but there is in any national poll, there's this magic number that keeps coming up: 27%. There are 27% of people that would follow George W. Bush to the end of the earth today, even while the rest of the GOP has disowned him and act like he was never around.
Right, of course.
And my point is, DeMint has publicly been the most vocal member of that 27%, and he has backed several Senate candidates with very extreme positions, whether Todd Akin here in Missouri, Murdoch in Indiana. And in the past election cycle, where the Republicans won big, there were even a few like Sharon Engel and Christine
O'Donnell. Let's play a new little game while we do our news.
Okay.
Okay. We'll call it Bush League and Pro. Okay.
Okay.
Bush League or Pro.
Okay.
Jim DeMint, Bush League or Pro?
Bush League.
Bush League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Bush League also. I'm thinking.
So why are they paying him $1 million?
That's my point. That's my point.
Senate?
That's my point. I don't think it's that they're paying him $1 million to get out of the Senate. I think that basically they said, listen, either you can be a non-event and a non-issue for the Senate, or you can just move on with your life. We don't care that you won. And so they're like, here's the thing. Now they're starting to play the game where they're taking states' decisions and throwing them by the wayside. We don't care what you think, South Carolina. All the people that live in the state of South Carolina, we don't care if you voted for or against this guy. We just don't care what you thought at all, because he's going to be a non-issue for us, and we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say Bush League on Jim DeMint. I think that the situation is Bush League in general.
I think that the big money, the people who spent millions and billions of dollars trying to defeat Barack Obama through these super PACs.
Right.
In the last election, after the conservative activists on the Supreme Court reversed hundreds of years of jurisprudence and
right.
said that any money from anywhere is free speech. I think that the big money now is trying to not lose some of these elections that they, you know, polls projected that the GOP should pick up easily. But then they put these candidates out there that say what they really think.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You know, you take Christine O'Donnell, the wacko from Connecticut that lost. Yeah, she, you know, beat, I think, a guy named Castle in the primary.
Right.
He would have run moderate. He would have said moderate things in a campaign. He would have looked very respectable. But I don't think there's a dime's worth of difference between how he and Christine O'Donnell would have voted. Same with Engel in Nevada.
Right. No,
same with Akin. You know, Akin was painted to be this extremist, but he said what people really
think.
We've
determined this guy to be Bush League. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on. Let's move past him. Let's move past him.
Okay.
He's Bush League. So what else do we got? What's next up in the news game?
Well, big news came out Friday. The Supreme Court is going to hear two cases on homosexual marriage.
Now, that's actually a big change from
Huge.
Where we were at. Because originally their stance was, we really don't think that this has anything to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
This is more of just you guys on one side or the other being butthurt about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to stay out of the middle of this because we don't think that it's something that, like, there's other things that are stronger. Like, I think that, and here's the thing, I am for gay rights. I'm cool with that. Like, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care one way or the other, truthfully. At the same point, I think there are more dire things that could become amendments for the Constitution. But then again, I look at our Constitution and realize we have an amendment for prohibition and against prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And the history, I think, was it yesterday or the day before, was the anniversary of the repeal?
Oh, the repeal, yeah.
Of prohibition. Okay. You have two amendments that cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't have just had an asterisk next to the original amendment and just said, denotes that this is no longer a valid amendment. Like, there was no need for another ratified amendment to cancel the other amendment out. That's my point.
Legally, there. I don't know. I mean, it has the same effect.
There's an amendment in the Constitution. I think it's 25th, 26th, or 27th. One of the last three. It allows the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., to have voting rights. And I'm like sitting there going, does that need to be an amendment? How about we just say, District of Columbia, you got voting rights. You're already in the state of Virginia. So you just fall under states' rules and states' rights.
Well,
duh. Like, I don't, like, see, that's stupid stuff. That's the stuff
I
don't understand.
If it's constitutional, it needs an amendment. An amendment is a different
process. If it's constitutional, but the fact, like, okay, they're not going to put an amendment in it that says Puerto Rico gets to become part of the United States. They're not going to do that. They're just going to say, oh, Puerto Rico now becomes part of the United States. That's all they're going to do.
If it's constitutional, that would require
If it's constitutional,
amendment.
But it's not constitutional. We just add them. Just like, there's no constitutional amendment that says Missouri became the state it did in 1851 or 1849 or whatever. You know, there's no constitutional amendment. Like, number 54 is the state of Missouri becomes ratified to become a state in the United States of the Union.
Well, yeah, but...
Like, that doesn't exist.
Because it's not a constitutional issue.
Neither is Puerto Rico yeah, or the ability for, you know, now, like, the 24, 25, 26, somewhere, they're all the last three amendments. One of them is that states, like, the order of... the presidency and down the line from president to vice president to this person to this person to this person. It's a little, there's a laundry list of the exact order, the pecking order of how it falls. If the president is to die, then the vice president of this.
Do we have any poli-sci majors listening? We need a constitutional lawyer. Can you call Barack?
Yeah, we need a constitutional lawyer. 636-356-9266. 636-356-9266. We'd love to hear your opinion, whether it's about what we're talking about or Kurt Schlichter calling in and being a part of the show. By the way, don't forget, you can catch his book on Amazon.com. Go search up Kurt Schlichter. I am a conservative and I am a liberal. Plus, he's got a new book coming out. We're going to probably try to have him on again here in the next few months once that book comes out. So
Supreme Court here in two cases.
Yep.
One is regarding the Defense of Marriage Act.
All right.
The other is regarding California's Proposition 8. Which was the it banned gay marriage, but then the Supreme Court in California overturned that.
All right.
Is not a valid
thing. Are they fighting about this?
Well, that's the culture wars. It's what drives everyone to vote against their own economic interests.
I understand.
I'm afraid of my neighbor. America is great except for this group or that group. I love America by hating other Americans.
Right. Yeah, we know.
So what's interesting about this in both cases is that the federal government is not defending DOMA. It'll be the House Republicans defending it. And in Proposition 8, California is not defending it. It'll be the activists for that defending it. So the Supreme Court might wiggle out of this because before they even decide on these cases, they're going to decide if the people bringing these cases are valid to bring them. And it's an interesting time for the conservative court. You know, it is 5-4 conservative court. Maybe doesn't want to go on record about the issue itself so they can wiggle out of making that decision by just saying, hey, you know, only the federal government can argue this. Only the state government can argue
True.
This. But it would have the same effect of basically invalidating those laws. This could be big.
We're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Could
we're
be
gonna, Bush League, Bush League or pro?
Supreme Court?
I'm going pro. Professional. This is big dog. Big stuff. Legitimate. It's legit.
I don't think you can call a Supreme Court with Clarence Thomas and Alito anything but Bush League.
I'm going pro. I'm going pro just because of the stance of the actual things that they're going to be discussing, not the Supreme Court themselves.
I'm talking
about this is pro on the aspect of,
actually,
of the story.
Some of them are literally the Bush League. They're the ones that handed George Bush the election he couldn't win.
Fair enough. Hey, I do want to throw one in here. Did you hear about the whole Gangnam Style guy, Psy?
Oh, yes.
And the anti... Now, this has been blowing up on Twitter.
Down. Oh, yeah.
This is... you have that written down, you said?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about it. Let's talk about that. For a few brief hours, militant international leftists hoped that they'd found their first global pop star and Gangnam Style rapper, Psy, who was revealed to have once performed a song with the lyrics, "Kill those effing Yankees who have been torturing Iraqi captives. Kill those effing Yankees who ordered them to torture." Alas, it was not to be. Psy has apologized via the following statement. As a proud South Korean who was educated in the United States and lived there for a very significant part of my life, I understand the sacrifices American servicemen and women have made to protect freedom and democracy in my country and around the world. The song I featured on in question from 8 years ago was part of a deeply emotional reaction to the war in Iraq and the killing of two Korean schoolgirls that was part of the overall anti-war sentiment shared by others around the world at the same time. While I'm grateful for the freedom to express oneself, I've learned that there are limits to what language is appropriate, and I am deeply sorry for how these lyrics could be interpreted. I will forever be sorry for any pain I have caused by those words. Now, before we go any further... there's only one way to interpret the words "kill those effing Yankees." Mm-hmm. They killed it. Like there's no other interpretation, Cy. Nothing against you, buddy. Like I appreciate the apology. I think that's great. And he said, "I have been honored to perform in front of American soldiers in recent months, including appearances with Jay Leno specifically for them. And I hope that all the Americans can accept my apology. While it's important that we express our opinions, I deeply regret the inflammatory and inappropriate language I used to do so. In my music, I try to give people a release, a reason to smile. I have learned through music, our universal language, we can all come together as a culture of humanity. And I hope that you will accept my apology." Now, first off, pro or Bush League, size apology?
Pro.
I'm going to go Bush League.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bush League. It sounds like it's a reaction to the fact that he got caught. Like, 3 months ago, this still existed, but they hadn't caught on to the wind yet. You know what I'm saying? People hadn't gotten wind of the situation. So
right.
It wasn't like he proactively went out of his way. It's only in reaction to the fact that.
Well, that's what apologies are. They're in reaction to.
No.
I mean,
you know,
how would you have addressed it in this situation? Check this out. By the way, everyone.
Check this out. Complete happenstance here. Okay? We're hypothetical.
Okay.
I cheat on your wife cheats on you with me. Okay? I, as long as it's not brought up by me or her, Justin never finds out. Justin's none the wiser. But I know that I still did a bad thing with his wife, and his wife still knows she did a bad thing with me. In regards to their marriage. Do you see my point?
How long do I have to think about this?
Right. So my question is, once you, like, I could, like, once you find out, she lets it slip, you find out, you get angry at Mark. You come after Mark. Mark's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Justin. I'm so sorry. In your mind, you're like, dollar late and day short, bro. Too little, too late. Like, you're not going to sit there and go, "It's okay, dude. It's cool. I accept your apology. Like, yeah, you know, I found out, but now it's okay. I accept your apology." Like, that's not going to happen, Justin. Justin's got guns on his arms. He's got skulls on himself. You know what I'm saying? Justin's not the kind of guy who's just like, "It's cool. You can do that and get away with it." No. Now, if I would have come to you proactively, knowing months before that this had happened, and you still were none the wiser, and I go, "Listen, I need to talk to you. Here's what happened, and I'm really sorry about it," stuff like that. It's, you're still going to be angry, but you're going to feel like, dude.
But this is like, this isn't a person he has to apologize to. This is like an incident.
True.
That is in the past.
I guess you're right.
You know,
they're
like, who, if he wanted to bring this up proactively, like when he was at the American Music Awards, should he have said halfway through the song, "Hold on, MC Hammer, I got to get this off my chest.
I've said some anti-American things, and
pull a Kanye.
All right, let's go.
I'm going to let you do this dance.
Yeah, too legit to quit." Hey, hey.
That would have been too legit. That would have been too legit for the American Music Awards. I think it's a pro apology. Now, granted, I kind of take him at his word on this in a weird way. Like, it was a very, you have to think. These statements were sometime in 2002. Right. He was at a demonstration against, you know, the American invasion of Iraq. He crushed some toy tank, which, oh my, you know, again, oh my God, someone crushed a toy tank.
I've seen Master P do that on stage
and
before.
And then, well, you know, No Limit Soldier. And then 04, you know, he sings a song that he didn't write. He performed the song that had these lyrics about kill
right.
the Yankees.
It was a rock band.
Iraqi. Yeah. And, you know, obviously, yeah, now let's not kid ourselves. He has a lot of money on the table to win or lose here. So, of course, he's going to apologize, you know. But it's also a very well-constructed apology that takes accountability for it, puts it in perspective, you know, apologizes to the people who could be effective, you know, which, is all you can ask for. I'm not saying it was the right thing to say or the right way to say it, but once he acknowledges that, like, what else do you, you know, are we going to look for more of some conspiracy?
I guess we can't.
You know, it's one of those things. It's unfortunate. It is what it is. But, you know, I guarantee you go back 8 years ago and you look at my MySpace or STL Punk or whatever was around back then, Social Net, my Friendster, I probably said
you were on STL Punk.
Oh yeah, I was the king of STL Punk.
You were the king.
Yeah, we're getting very local now. I lived in the house that STL Punk emanated from.
The creepy crawl?
No, the guy who created STL Punk, Mr. Jerome Gaynor, was my first landlord.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So I lived in the STL Punk house.
Yeah, it's been a long time. STL Punk hasn't been around for a long, long time.
But it's still fond in all of our hearts.
It is.
Anyway, if you could dig up my STL Punk profile, which I'm sure you could with the Internet Wayback Machine, I've probably said tremendously stupid things.
That's
and then
all right.
There was very, you know.
I get it. Okay. We're going to beat this horse to death. I get it. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to get out of here on the show. I want to thank Rob Davis for coming on the show and doing sports. I also want to thank Kurt Schlichter. Breitbart.com contributor, townhall.com contributor. I appreciate Mr. Schlichter coming on the show.
Best-selling Amazon author.
Yep, best-selling Amazon
author. But not reasonable.
Very not reasonable.
Do not call him reasonable.
He's not a reasonable man.
Under his skin. Do not tweet him about how reasonable he is.
Don't do that because he is not moderate. He is not reasonable.
Oh.
He was not.
No.
Regardless of all that, we want to thank Kurt Schlichter for coming on the show. We're going to try to get Kurt going again. It was very fun talking to him. I thought it was a very entertaining interview. At Dymofo. DeyeMofo.
Like eyeball, like I with the D in front of it.
Dymofo.
DeyeMofo. Yep.
That's right, Mofo. It's one of those situations where, you know...
You've
got to check him out.
On the Instagram.
He's an enabler.
The best wrestling tattoo of all time.
He is definitely an enabler. He is definitely one of those individuals who, he's just a logical human being.
Do you like politics?
I do.
Do you like wrestling?
I do.
Do you like zombies?
Yep.
Do you like beer?
Sure.
I'm your guy.
You're the guy.
I'm your guy.
Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com every single week, noon till 12. Noon till 2 p.m. Central Standard Time here on WestplexNewsTalk.com and 1280 a.m. KYRO in your cars here in the St. Louis area. We're working on expanding our brand. Maybe we're going to jump on tapdetroit.com, which is a new web area for the Q. Maybe we're going to get up there so we can get some Detroit love. As well as I'm looking at some other political stations across the United States to try to syndicate and branch out to with this show. If you are a fan of the show, tell a friend, tell a family member, tweet it, promote it for us, help us out, hit us up. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/theqnow, theqnow. There's theqnow.com. You can find our Twitter and our Facebook on the website itself. Old episodes, new episodes.
Reach out and touch us.
We have a contacts page, all of this, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for us here on the Q this week. I really, really thank Kurt Schlichter. Awesome to have him on. I want more conservatives from other walks of life on this show. Me and Dymofo, we're saying see ya until next time. No paper, cause the safe is not so safe. The piggy bank got legs and feet and can't get up and walk away shouting with my southern drawl awkwardly. I